Roughly Speaking is brought to you by the Ivy Bookshop, an independent, locally owned bookseller. The shop offers the best in literature, current affairs, history, poetry, and of course, books about Baltimore. The Ivy is located at Falls Road at Lake Avenue in Mount Washington. Check it out at theivybookshop.com.
Hello again from the Baltimore Sun. Dan Rodericks here, and this is Roughly Speaking, episode 380 for Tuesday, April 24th, 2018. Today, there's a new Goucher poll putting Maryland Governor Larry Hogan in a strong position to win re-election later this year over any of the Democratic candidates who are vying for their party's nomination in June's primary. With me to discuss the latest poll is Malia Cromer, director of the Sarah T. Hughes Field Politics Center at Goucher College, where they conduct the poll. Malia, nice to see you.
Hi, thanks for having me, Dan.
When was the poll conducted?
So we were in the field last week from Saturday, April 14th to Thursday, April 19th.
And how many people in your poll?
We have 617 Maryland residents, and then we screen down for those registered voters and then likely voters.
Now, Larry Hogan, the Republican governor serving his first term, has been extremely popular right from the beginning. He's done really well in polls on his approval rating all through this. And it looks to me from the poll results that he got even stronger recently.
Yeah, there was a little slight bump that we saw from February 2018, which was our last poll, till this current poll. But I would really contextualize Governor Hogan's approval rating is really consistent. And you see, and this is, I think, actually indicative of the type of person he is as well. So it's very consistent messaging that comes out of the governor's office. And it's reflected not only in his approval ratings, but also reflected in this series of questions we asked about who's best able to handle certain issues. And we asked Governor Hogan versus the Democratic leadership in Maryland, who can better handle environmental issues, budget and finances, gun violence, transportation infrastructure, economic development, taxes, education, and crime and criminal justice. And no surprise, the governor does really well on budget and finances, economic development and job creation, and taxes. Again, that consistent messaging that comes out of the governor's office.
Well, the Democrat would do better in some of those other categories you just mentioned.
That's right. And so we think about the Democratic advantage here in the state. Environmental issues, they do significantly better. People have more confidence in the Democratic leadership, as well as education. So they do slightly better in terms of addressing educational issues. And again, you know, education as well as economic issues are those two key issues that always come up in these gubernatorial elections.
Larry Hogan, a Republican in a state where Democrats outnumber Republicans 2-1, but he's generally viewed as a moderate by most of the respondents to your poll, right?
Right. And so we've started to ask about this back in September 2017, when you really started to see that messaging coming out of the Hogan administration, I think as part of his effort to distance himself from the president, which our poll shows that the president's approval ratings are yet again really bad here in the state. But back to Hogan's ideology, half of Marylanders now view him as a political moderate. Around 26% say he's a conservative, and about like 9% say he's a liberal.
You asked the people in the poll about Donald Trump and Larry Hogan, the connection between those two.
And this is one of those things that's really predictive, by the way, of Governor Hogan's vote share. The further he distances himself from Trump, the more distance he can put himself between the Republican president, the better he actually does among Maryland voters. And that, again, shows how unpopular the president is here in the state.
This is the second time you mentioned that. So how unpopular is he?
He's pretty unpopular. His approval rating hasn't broke 30%. And his disapproval rating, and this is the number that really stands out to me, among Democrats, it's in the 90s, his disapproval rating. Right. And so you mentioned the 2-1 Democratic-Republican ratio. You don't want to tie yourself to somebody with a 90-something percent disapproval rating among the largest partisan population of the state.
Side note, I saw a tweet from my colleague Pamela Wood today saying that the poll showed 3% of people couldn't say whether they had a favorable or unfavorable view of Donald Trump.
Yeah, so people definitely...
There's actually 3% of people who haven't made up their mind about Trump.
And that's really low. It's only 3%. That's like, so everybody
still,
else has a
like
strong
find
opinion.
That 3%. I like to find that 3%. Well, back to Larry Hogan then. Did you match him up against any of the likely Democratic candidates?
We did. And I think that we're actually the first poll who's looked at them across all of the Democratic candidates. A poll by Mason Dixon looked at Larry Hogan, I believe, against Rashorn Baker, Kevin Kamenetz, and Ben Jealous. But we went down the line and asked him against across everybody. And what we really find is that there is a that he does have a gap. He's doing better than the Democratic challengers. So Larry Hogan is getting right around like in the, around 45% of that of the electorate, and the Democratic candidates are getting anywhere from the mid 20s to the low 30s.
So he has anywhere from he has a double digit lead on over each of the candidates.
Yes, over each of the candidates, he's a double digit lead. But I think an important thing to point out is the don't knows are still relatively high, right? And of course they are. We are pretty far out from November, mm-hmm. So around a quarter of Marylanders don't know who they're going to vote for between the governor or any of the given Democratic candidates.
So it's harder for people to make up their minds about that. Exactly. Until they know exactly who the Democratic candidate is.
That's exactly true. And I really enjoyed reading this piece by Aaron Cox from the Baltimore Sun about the micro-targeting their way to winning the primary election. I thought that was such an interesting analysis, how with this many candidates in the race in the Democratic primary, you only need, I think it was like 125,000 votes to win. Mm-hmm. And that creates an interesting conundrum, I think, for each of the candidates running. So when you're micro-targeting, you're trying to win election by appealing to a small subsection of voters.
A sort of niche issue-oriented campaign, right?
Right, but then the second that you win the primary, you have to appeal to individuals statewide.
Mm-hmm.
And so it becomes a question of like it's micro-targeting now. Are we going to see a traditional kind of TV and radio blitz that will happen in the weeks getting closer and closer to that Democratic primary? And then the question becomes, then what does that do to the Larry Hogan versus perhaps those front runners numbers? Do we see a shrinking of that gap? And we'll find out, I guess, not from us, not from the Gallup poll. We're done until September, but from other public polls, I think, in the coming weeks.
Well, what Hogan has going for him, it seems to me, is this: he's not associated with Trump, right? That's very important, because if there was any kind of a blue wave coming through this state or any state with a Republican governor, the more that governor or congressional candidate mm-hmm. or Senate candidate is aligned with Trump, the more vulnerable they would be. So he's positioned himself really well there. And this isn't just recently. This goes back to the presidential election, right? He said he wasn't supporting Trump.
Exactly. And I'm sure that there was some internal polling done by the Hogan campaign that recognized that you don't want to get anywhere near President Trump. Yeah. And what's been interesting, though, is the fact that although Governor Hogan has certainly purposefully distanced himself from the president and been more vocal about it, certainly in the last year, it really hasn't hurt him among Republicans. And so so President Trump has, I think right now, in the mid to upper 60s approval rating still among Maryland Republicans.
Hmm. Which is lower than the national. The national is something like approaching 75%.
Yes, right? This is the first time it's a little bit lower than a national here in Maryland. I have to wonder if that has something to do with the tax bill. So in other states, right, the new tax bill through the federal government actually has given people, you know, will give people more money in their paychecks. Here in Maryland, they've actually had to pass a law to try to course correct for some of the issues.
It's actually affected people's pocketbooks in Maryland.
Right. So it's been a real mixed bag here in Maryland comparative to other states. But again, back to the Trump effect. So I think that, you know, Governor Hogan has certainly pushed back on the president, but that has not hurt him among his base. So Republicans are still voting for Governor Larry Hogan. So he hasn't seen any real melt among that, even the more Trumpian part, I guess, of the Republican base.
How does he do among Democrats in your poll?
So this is where I think things get a little bit interesting, certainly. So his approval rating among Democrats is still pretty good. It's 65%. That's really strong. I think that's reflective of all the bipartisanship that we saw at the end of the Maryland General Assembly. And so for Governor Hogan, I think to gain reelection, he has to be in a position where he's demonstrating that he's a Republican, but he's a moderate, and he's willing to work across the party aisle. That is the only way. He has to appeal to those Democratic voters that he needs to win.
He also got tolls lowered and roads paved, right?
And
bread and butter issues that appeal to everybody, no matter which party you're in.
And he also we asked Marylanders what they thought about the economy as well. And so if you ask folks, like, you know, over the last 4 years, has the economy gotten better, stayed the same, or been worse? Or gotten worse, and a plurality of voters say, you know, it's actually gotten better. So 42% say it's gotten better, and another, I think, 40-ish% or high 30s say it's about the same, and only a small percentage say it's gotten worse. And that's a good place to be for a Republican governor.
And among Democrats?
For any governor, I'm sorry.
So I asked you how he was doing among Democrats.
So now this is where things get a little bit interesting. So although 60,
well, it's been interesting so far. This is where it gets more interesting.
More interesting. Yeah, exactly. So this is where, you know, we start to think about like the Hogan Coalition and the difference between approval rating and reelection rate. So yes, 65% of Democrats are going to say, you know, we're, the governor's doing a good job. They're going to give it to him. He's doing a good job. Now, if you start to ask, are you going to vote for Republican Larry Hogan? That's how we phrase it in the question. We said Republican versus the Democratic challenger and then the Democrat's name. Only 26% of Democrats say they're going to vote for Larry Hogan on average across all of each of those Democratic candidates. So Democrats may like him, but only around 25% are willing right now to say they want to vote. They're going to vote to reelect him, and I think that's all. All hinges on the Democratic candidate in which they, which wins that who wins the Democratic primary.
Okay, it does hinge on that. It also hinges on turnout in a state where Democrats outnumber Republicans 2-1.
Absolutely.
And the attitude of those people. The attitude being, I'm sorry, I can't vote for a Republican. I know you're not associated with Donald Trump, but you're a Republican, and this is, I'm part of the blue wave. And if that momentum builds and people, you feel that in the air, that could happen in November. But boy, Larry Hogan looks like he's in a strong position to win re-election.
I think
based on your poll.
Right. But remember, polls are snapshots in time. They're not crystal balls.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so this is a really volatile political environment. So who knows what Trump is going to do next?
But excuse me, if you're talking about Maryland, Malia, is Maryland really a volatile political?
I think you can't possibly discount the national political environment
affecting Maryland.
Just in general. But I mean, right. So I do think Larry Hogan is in a good electoral position now. But it's one of those things that you can't predict an election this far out.
Mm-hmm.
So what our poll tells us now is exactly this, that Democrats approve the job the governor's doing. Far less of them want to vote to reelect him. Larry Hogan is strong among his base. His base really supports him. He does really well among independents, even against all those Democratic candidates. People have a positive view of the economy. They view him as a moderate, and they view that he's appropriately distanced himself from the president. These are all things that he needs to keep up if he wants to continue to lead this election, lead this campaign.
You've drilled into something really interesting there among those Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
That is that they approve of the job he's doing by a pretty high percentage, 65. That's pretty high.
It is.
But they wouldn't necessarily vote for him.
Yeah, that's party identification.
Yeah.
And so it takes a lot more. And that's why it's so difficult for a Republican to win in a blue state like this. Because it takes a lot to get somebody to not vote for their party's nominee.
A little bit of history here. The last time a Republican governor ran for re-election in Maryland was 2006. The governor was Robert Ehrlich. He served one term. And then Martin O'Malley became the Democratic challenger. What happened that year?
So there has
been. We know O'Malley won, but how was Ehrlich doing in the polling around that time? Do you know?
So there has been a lot of comparisons between 2006 and 2018, and you'll hear people say, "Well, Bob Ehrlich was popular too when he lost." You'll hear this as an anecdote you hear a lot over and over and over again. So. That's true. He had around in the mid-50s approval rating in that last year.
Which is still very good.
Still very good. The difference is, of course, that Larry Hogan has significantly higher approval ratings. But the key difference is he also has significantly lower disapproval ratings than Ehrlich did. So Ehrlich was a little bit more divisive than Larry Hogan. His net approval was substantially lower. Here's the key difference. At this point in the campaign, back in 2006, O'Malley was already up on Ehrlich.
Ahead in polling.
He was already ahead in the polling. Mm-hmm. And as you know, he had a much easier Democratic primary. In fact, his opponent actually dropped out of the race. And O'Malley was really well funded. And so I think that it's fair to make comparisons to 2006. I think you look back, that's the last time we had a Republican incumbent running. But I also think if you want to make that comparison, you also have to compare Martin O'Malley to the current crop of Democratic candidates as well. So you want to make the comparison, you have to look at both sides.
Right. One thing I throw in there on the presidential front, 2006, George W. Bush was president. We were 3 years into the invasion of Iraq, and President Bush was not doing very well in the polls.
No, and so I look back at those numbers as well, and so Trump is actually slightly less popular among Marylanders than George W. Bush was. But I really think that there's been more of an effort from Larry Hogan to purposefully distance himself from President Trump than Bob Ehrlich did with George W. Bush. Mm-hmm. And Bob Ehrlich was also a member of Congress, mm-hmm. where Larry Hogan was not. And he is not just, his messaging has not just been to distance himself from Trump, but also to distance himself from Washington, D.C. politics, period.
Malia Cromer, director of the Goucher Poll, is with us today on Roughly Speaking. What was the most interesting question for you in this poll and the results? I mean, we've covered the horse race here for now. I guess we'll see how this plays out over the next month or two. Well, June 26 is the primary, so after that we'll know who the Democratic candidate is. But as far as your poll goes this time around, Malia, what was the most interesting question you asked?
So my favorite, and I think the most interesting question, was this question about your general views on what government should do. So we asked Marylanders that I'm going to read you two statements. Please tell me which one comes closest to your view. One, government should do more to solve the problems and help meet the needs of people. Or statement two, government is doing too many things, better left to businesses and individuals. And if that's like that, that's the quintessential dividing line between Democrats and Republicans, mm-hmm. right? 62% of people in the state think the government should do more to help solve problems and meet the needs of people, compared to 31% think that government is doing too many things, better left to businesses and individuals. And I look.
I'm not surprised by that.
I'm not surprised by that either. With that Democrat to Republican ratio, and if you look at just the scope of what gets accomplished in the Maryland General Assembly, so how their approach to governance compared to look at all the states with the teacher strikes. Mm-hmm. So those things are not. So we're talking about like how much more funding can we give
for education
in the state,
yeah.
where they're not having those sort of parallel discussions. I think in places like Oklahoma or Arkansas or West Virginia, it's a very different discussion. We have a very activist, I think, government that wants to give a lot of goods and services to the people who live here.
And I'll throw this in, since the tragedy in Parkland, Florida, and all the discussion about guns and whether we should be further regulating guns or banning assault mm-hmm. rifles, Maryland did that, banning assault rifles 5 years ago, 2013. That comes up a lot.
It does come up a lot.
It's a proactive legislature.
I think it absolutely is. And, you know, just to go back to gun violence really quickly, that was one of the issues we asked, whether Governor Larry, they had more confidence in the governor versus the Democratic leaders in Maryland to handle this particular issue of gun violence. And Marylanders are almost evenly divided here. Around 40% say, or 39% say Larry Hogan, 40% say the Democratic leadership. Hmm. And that's, when I think about the end of legislative session and I think about all the debates they had over school safety, and I think that a lot of Marylanders do draw that parallel between, banning bump stops, banning some additional gun regulation, but also investing money in school safety measures. And that was a large conversation that happened at the end of legislative session. So in many ways, I'm not surprised to see, folks pretty evenly divided between the governor and the Democratic leadership on this issue of gun violence and who can best handle it.
I've been reading and finished reading and wrote a column about a new Brookings Institution report on cities, on mm-hmm. Baltimore and other old industrial cities, and how they can be better used as economic engines for their regions and their states. And one of the issues they address in that report is income inequality across the races, especially. And I was curious about your poll results this time around on the Goucher poll, and how Black Marylanders versus white Marylanders view different things, starting with the governor, starting with and also the shape of the economy.
I think that's a really important point. So there are certainly some differences in the way that African Americans and white Marylanders view how the economy and how well it's doing. So around 51% of white people will say, the economy is better now than it was 4 years ago, compared to only 20% of African Americans. Now, to put it in proper context, so 50% of African Americans say, well, it's about the same. Right. So they think it's about the same. It hasn't gotten really any better, mm-hmm. but it hasn't really got.
In terms of viewing it as something that's improved, though, there's a pretty big divide.
There's a big divide there. Yeah. Absolutely. So white people are much more likely to say the economy has gotten better in the last 4 years. And that perhaps is indicative of, we talk about the race wealth gap. Mm-hmm. And that perhaps is what is driving that number. For Governor Larry Hogan, he does well among African Americans in terms of his approval rating. And this is obviously certainly correlated here with party identification. We know that the majority, a large majority of African Americans are also Democrats. So there's always that interplay that happens. But when you start to look at whether Larry Hogan is a moderate, which I thought this was really kind of interesting, that fewer African Americans than whites think that he's a moderate. And so I think that's important, particularly as the fact that like being a moderate is really closely tied to his reelection chances. And just another, I think, just an interesting little thing is that he gets a little bit, among African-Americans, he does okay, better than a lot of Republicans do. But that could be potentially an area that if Democrats could really engage the African-American vote, really, you know, push forward policies that the African-American community are really supportive of, that could be a big difference maker in this election.
And the Democratic candidates that do best among Democrats are African-American, correct?
Right.
Sharon Baker, the Prince George's County executive, and Ben Jealous, the former president of the NAACP, who's in business here in Baltimore.
Right. So I'm always cautioned that this is not a head-to-head Democratic primary poll.
I understand.
So it's difficult to say, like, who's quote-unquote ahead in the Democratic primary from this poll. Mm. But I will say this, that Larry Hogan gets around, against Rashearn Baker, so Larry Hogan's going to get around 30% of African Americans, which is still pretty, a pretty substantial number.
It is.
But 43% are, you know, leaning towards Rashearn Baker. Right. And so it's all about for Democrats. So piecing together these groups of individuals who are probably ginning up turnout among these groups of individuals who aren't really putting their full support behind the governor. And that's African-Americans. But it's also really young people, 18 to 34. That's a problem area for the governor. So 47, if the election were between it was only 18 to 34 year olds could vote in the election. We would have a Democratic governor.
Yeah, 18 to 34 year olds generally are turning away from Republican candidates nationally.
But the problem, and I think you and I both know the problem with the youth vote is that they have a turnout problem, mm-hmm. particularly in midterm elections. And so I think that a lot of folks, I mean, particularly on the Republican side and as well as the Democratic side, are just sort of waiting with bated breath to see, like, you know, what is the blue wave actually coming? You know, they can talk a lot about it, but, you know, how are you trying to prevent it? For the Republicans, how do you prevent against it? For Democrats, how do you make sure that it comes here to Maryland?
You still need an exciting race.
You need an exciting race.
Right? I mean, most of the congressional districts are settled, except
yes.
for maybe one that's in play, maybe two. Right? But you need an exciting election to get people out. You still need that, even if there's a blue wave, even with Donald Trump in the White House.
You absolutely need exciting races, particularly, I think, at the federal level to get people excited, particularly if you have a governor that has been able, in the eyes of Marylanders, to distance himself. But all of these things, we'll find out, like, after June. So how exciting the race will be how exciting that Democratic candidate can be. And if you watch any of the – I spend a lot of time, you know, watching the forums. Anytime a forum is streamed online, I'm there watching it. And each one of the candidates, I think, is strong in their own right.
Oh, I've had them – all in here at least once, and that's tough choices for Democrats.
Yeah, and
they're all
good.
Interesting.
They're all interesting. They all have individual, I think, strengths and individual things that could go against, that could really contrast against the governor. But what will be, I think, the most interesting is when you see whoever the eventual winner is, if you see folks like the Democratic Governors Association really try to put some money into this race to take Governor Hogan out.
Malia, thank you very much. When do you anticipate another poll? In the summer?
Late summer? No, September. So
late summer.
Late summer. Let's call it late summer. Yeah. We call it fall in academia, but okay.
But closer to the general election.
Closer. So we'll do one in September and likely one in October.
Malia Cromer is director of the Sarah T. Hughes Field Politics Center at Goucher College, where she conducts the Goucher poll. You can find a link to the poll and the Sun's coverage of Maryland politics in the notes with this podcast. If you want to hear candidates for governor interviewed on the podcast, they're all in our archives. We have a page set up just with candidate interviews at BaltimoreSun.com. You can also find it on iTunes. That's our show for now. Your thoughts are always welcome by email, Twitter, or on Facebook. If you have comments for Malia Cromer, please write to me. I'll pass them along for you. Please review our show on iTunes if you get the chance. For producers Steve Early and Quinn Kelly in the Baltimore Sun Newsroom, I'm Dan Rodericks. Thanks for listening to Roughly Speaking. We'll see you again soon.
Roughly Speaking with Dan Rodericks is brought to you by the Ivy Bookshop, an independent bookstore at Falls Road and Lake Avenue in Baltimore. The Ivy stocks a wide selection of books covering Baltimore and the Chesapeake Bay region, many by local authors. Located at 6080 Falls Road, more information can be found at theivybookshop.com or by calling 410-377-2700. 2966.